from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. California Attorney General Javier Becerra has sued the Trump administration yesterday in hopes of blocking new rules that ban clinics that receive federal family planning money from offering abortions or referring women to abortion services.
This is a systematic effort by this administration to end access to birth control and safe, legal abortion.
20 other states are also filing suit today over the changes to Title 10. That's the federally funded program for family planning. Joining us to discuss the suit and what the rule changes mean for California, Maggie Krell, Chief Legal Counsel for Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Brad Dacus, who joins us as well for this segment, constitutional attorney and president of the Pacific Justice Institute, a nonprofit legal defense organization which specializes in the defense of religious freedom. And Brad will be joining us shortly. Oh, you are there, Brad. Brad, go ahead. Brad,
hello.
Dacus, are you? Oh, you're with us. Okay. I thought.
Yes, I am.
I thought we were just connecting with you. Glad to have you aboard as well. Welcome to the program. Let me begin, Maggie Krell, with you. We've got estimates of about 4 million women affected by this, about 1 million of them here in California. And the fact of the matter is that the 1 million here in California, the impact is going to be particularly hard on the poor and on women of color. And let's talk about what that impact is, because we're talking largely about abortion, but we're also talking about pregnancy testing, contraceptive advice, Planned Parenthood, totally.
That's exactly right. And just to be clear, Title 10 money has never been used for abortion. The issue is that we consider reproductive health to include abortion and all other types of reproductive health. So when you take a program like Title 10 that's been extremely successful for almost 50 years in serving low-income women and providing things like birth control, STD testing and screening and treatment, cancer screening, sexual and reproductive health and outreach, all of that, and then you essentially come up with a rule that guts that program, you essentially put anybody's health who was dependent on Title 10 in jeopardy. And it just so happens that here in California, we have 1 million such patients that rely on Title 10 services, and they're disproportionately poor women and women of color.
And a lot of the funds are actually used for Planned Parenthood. And Brad Dacus, the argument is that this is really going to affect women's health, particularly poor women and underprivileged women, and that Planned Parenthood is being targeted.
Let me just touch on first about regarding Planned Parenthood. I think people don't understand who we're talking about first. Let me clarify that first. The fact is 86% of Planned Parenthood's revenue, excluding Title 10, comes from abortions. That is their industry. And they're not – the family planning issue, 650 to 700 facilities – don't even do mammograms for women. They profited $127 million of excess revenue in 2014. $40 million of that went on to travel and parties. So that's about $13,000 a day. So they're a financial or abortion industry. And the reason this legislation is actually going to actually be for consumer protection is several fold. First off,
Let me just back you up just a minute, if I may, Brad,
yes.
Because Maggie Krell also said that federal funds already can't be used for abortion services. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And the information that Mr. Dacus is spewing about Planned Parenthood and where its money is spent is patently absurd and false.
I quoted the Washington Post. Go ahead.
Well, we seem to be obviously in an impasse right away here.
That's okay. Can I continue, though? Because I think
I interrupted you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to go back to Maggie's point. Go ahead, please.
Yes, the Washington Post fact checker in 2014, October 10th, 2014. But anyway, but what's really important here, and here's how it plays out, and that's true. Here's the reason why this legislation is really for protection of women from the likes of Planned Parenthood. And there's a reason why, is because if Planned Parenthood has a financial incentive in providing their services to encourage abortion. That's where their money comes from. And so first off, this legislation is going to have women getting advice and counsel from people, entities, that do not have a huge financial incentive and payback in this kind of a racket to take advantage of women. Second, with regard to the referrals, they're no longer going to be able to refer to their own entity to have the abortion. Instead, to take advantage of women in a state of crisis. Instead, women for about 5 seconds of time can go on their internet, put in abortion services. I did that this morning. Up came six clinics to provide competitive clinics to provide those services. And then third, clinics don't need Title 10 funding. Those who are actually doing family planning clinics, there's, for example, there's one out in Arizona, Camelback Family Planning of Phoenix. They provide both abortions and gynecological procedures, get no federal or state funding, and they do it, and they do it at a very, very cost and very low cost factor for women. So the bottom line is, you know, Planned Parenthood and her client, I understand, that's who pays her check. I get it. They're making a lot. This is their industry. This is their racket. Women are being taken advantage of in this regard, and this legislation will protect them, women, to get counseling from those who don't have a deep financial interest to give errant and false information regarding their abortion.
Well, let me go back to Maggie Krell on this, because he's calling Planned Parenthood a racket, and we're talking about $60 million, Maggie, that Planned Parenthood would lose in this funding under what's been called a gag rule. But there are 21 lawsuits, and they may be actually presenting a barrier, to put it mildly. But he's also really kind of impugning the fact that a lot of cancer screening and other kinds of reproductive information is given through Planned Parenthood. I'd like you to just address those sort of charges that Mr. Dacus has had.
Sure. Like I said originally, it's patently absurd. He's picking and choosing from different information, and it's coming out completely false. Let me talk to you a little bit about what a normal day is like at a Planned Parenthood clinic. Here in California, there's 112 of them. We have more than a million patient visits a year. The services that we provide include mammograms. They include checks for cervical cancer. They include STD testing and treatment. They include birth control. Of course, they also include abortion. Abortion is legal. Abortion care is health care.
They also include pregnancy tests, correct?
Yes, and they include pregnancy tests. We also have a program for teen moms. We also offer prenatal care. The point of Planned Parenthood is to offer non-judgmental care. It means that a woman can come in and receive information about what her reproductive options are. And the reason we are so offended by this administration's gag rule is it would essentially put a wall between a woman and her doctor, telling the doctor what he or she can and can't tell his or her patients. We think that's wrong. We think it's unconstitutional. And that's why 21 attorney generals and other lawsuits are challenging this in court.
So what does this mean for example, the women here in California? We've kind of touched on this a bit, but California Attorney General Becerra says that it's an extraordinary overreach of statutory authority by the Department of Health, but also these 20 lawsuits are trying to essentially shift tens of millions, as I said earlier, from Planned Parenthood to faith-based clinics. Are they not?
They are, and we know that Planned Parenthood is a target, and it's been a target of this administration since day one. This administration has a pernicious disregard for women and their health care, and especially impoverished women. And while targeting Planned Parenthood, this administration has also caused catastrophic harm to the patients that we serve.
Are you harming women with this? I think it comes down to that almost in a singular sense, Brad Dacus.
Well, first off, let me respond to this. Some of these points. First off, I do agree with her that it does help that they are located in places that do help minorities. 56% of African American pregnancies ended in abortion, so they're doing their job very well in terms of helping those groups of people, and that's part of the controversy. Needless to say, as far as the gag rule, I want to straighten this out. This has been very exaggerated. We're only talking about them being able to give referrals to places providing abortions, i.e. other Planned Parenthood places that are providing abortions. It does not in any way prevent them from having health conversations regarding abortion, the impacts of it, the procedures. Of course, one of the major complaints about Planned Parenthood is they don't give accurate information about abortions or even the stage of development of the unborn. Planned Parenthood has been criticized for not having the women or discouraging the women from looking at the sonogram. Other clinics that have women look at the sonogram to be informed, over 70% decide not to have the abortion that they were originally having. Obviously, that would cost Planned Parenthood lots of money, as we mentioned earlier. as far as a normal day at Planned Parenthood, they've been very good at their, from PR perspective regarding this. They do provide other services, but these other services are provided by other health clinics all across the United States. In fact, most of those receiving Title X funding will not even be impacted by this reduction and reduction of those other family services, and they do not have a financial incentive regarding this. And so this is going to shift the services to clinics that do not have a financial incentive, and it could be more objective and truly caring about women and their alternative choices. The fact that there are alternative clinics that are going to be participating, these are providing an incredible service. They outnumber Planned Parenthood 5-1 in the United States today, and that's for good reason, because not because they receive Title X funding, because most don't. It's because women want to go to where they know they're cared for and where they're going to talk to people who really care about them.
But you said it earlier. I mean, this money is used also to provide non-abortion health services, such as cancer screenings and birth control, and that's mostly poor and uninsured women.
Oh, you're right. But that money is still going to be provided by other services and other places that don't do abortions, that don't conduct abortions. The bottom line is the majority of Americans do not want their tax dollars used to subsidize abortions. To them, which they see is potentially the killing of unborn human embryos and fetuses with feet and heart, et cetera.
All right, Brad, we got a limited time here. I think we've got the shape of the debate, and I want to bring our listeners into this, and we're already getting responses here. So let me invite people to join us by phone. Our toll-free number is available, and we invite you to join us now. The number to call, 866-733-6786. What questions do you have? You can call us and let us know what's on your mind, or if you're concerned about what we're talking about, and many of you obviously are, we'd like to hear your concerns and what your opinions are. And again, you can join us at our toll-free number. You can also post comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, or on Facebook, or tweet us at kqedforum, or email us, forum@kqed.org. And I'm looking at a comment here from Anhana, who says, as a physician, it is disappointing to hear misinformation on your broadcast about the gag rule. No federal funds go to abortion in this country. Please fact check. Well, you've already said that, Maggie Krell. I'd like you to sort of clarify that.
That's correct. No federal funding goes to abortion. Title X has never been used to subsidize abortion.
And yet, it's your position, Brad Gaikas, that money does go to?
Well, yeah. Here's the interesting thing here. Planned Parenthood reports that less than 7% of their funding and revenue goes to abortion. On a fact check by the Washington Post fact checker, the number is actually 12%. And the reason is because they don't count the early preparatory visits for the abortion in assessing that. The bottom line is they do have indirectly a lot of funding. In fact, for advertising and public relations for Planned Parenthood, they use that for Title X funding for that, which implicitly brings in people for abortions.
Can I get Maggie Krell to respond to that point? Maggie,
yeah, that's wrong. Planned Parenthood uses Title X funding for STD testing and treatment, mainly for birth control, for pregnancy exams, for other forms of health care. It's not money that's used for advertising, and it's not money that's used for abortion.
What about those conferences and the sort of thing that Brad Dacus alluded to earlier that come under Planned Parenthood's aegis? Maggie?
Not paid for by Title X funding.
Well, here's a listener. We're getting some testament here. A listener writes, when I found out I was pregnant, I was in an abusive relationship and addicted to heroin. Planned Parenthood connected me with a Suboxone clinic, and thanks to their prenatal and amazing care and amazing staff, I now have a beautiful and healthy four-year-old. I've been clean since the day I got the referral. They saved my life and my daughter. Let's go to our callers, and let's go first to you, Denise. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been enjoying the lively debate. When I first moved here from L.A., I moved to San Francisco. My best friend told me of Planned Parenthood for health care. I didn't have a job, and I really needed to get my, you know, normal female stuff checked out. And they helped me out. I just needed health care. That's all. And I got health care. I got everything I needed there. It's an amazing, wonderful organization. I feel very fortunate to have been able to be a member of Planned Parenthood.
Well, thank you for that call. And again,
thanks,
we're getting
so much,
a lot of testimony here. Marcel writes, Planned Parenthood has provided me the best reproductive health care information, better and more complete information than my gynecologist at Kaiser. There is no racket here. What do you say to this kind of testimony, Brad Dacus?
Oh, I let me say this. I have no doubt that women are provided services from Planned Parenthood. The problem with Planned Parenthood, though, is that unlike other entities, the majority of those receiving Title X funding, Planned Parenthood has proven itself to have an incentive, a decisive financial incentive to, number one, provide not the most unbiased information with regards to abortion, and number two, to refer abortions to their own facilities and their own services. This is a consumer protection issue as much as anything when it comes to making sure that those who are using taxpayer dollars to provide advice and counsel don't have a huge, I stress, huge financial incentive to do so.
Let me get at something else there. I want to actually have Maggie Krell respond to the point you just made, but there's Karen Ferguson, who's of the Catholic Association, Maggie Krell, says that what this rule does is it clarifies the difference between family planning and abortion. And you say what to that kind of argument?
Well, we have never considered abortion to be family planning, but we do consider abortion to be part of the reproductive health conversation. So if a patient walks in and gets a pregnancy exam and wants to know the full scope of her options, our position is that the provider should provide her with that information. So
but forgive me, Maggie, is this rule actually putting a censorship on Planned Parenthood or the provider from doing that? They can still at least mention abortion, certainly, can't they, as an option?
No, this is absolutely a gag rule. It absolutely restricts who can discuss and refer abortion and in what context.
No, I'm not talking about referring abortion. I'm talking about abortion as an option. My understanding was that the rule doesn't necessarily preclude that.
Right.
It makes it very difficult. If a patient asks
No, I understand
abortion,
that, but I don't think it precludes it.
Right.
Let me get some more callers on here. But you want to respond first, Maggie, to Brad's last point, if you would?
I will. I mean, it is preclusive. It completely limits and constrains the type of conversations that medical providers can have with their patients. And the U.S. Supreme Court addressed this exact point just 6 months ago. The U.S. Supreme Court said that, as with other kinds of speech, regulating the content of professional speech poses an inherent risk that the government seeks not to advance a legitimate regulatory goal, but to suppress unpopular ideas or information. Take medicine, for example. Doctors help patients make deeply personal decisions, and their candor is crucial.
Maggie Krell, again, Chief Legal Counsel for Planned Parenthood and Affiliates of California. Quickly, if you could, Brad Dacus.
Yeah, because that was our case. That was our case. And, that case is, I agree with that decision completely, and I would agree that there is, that counseling is protected. Once again, this only applies to referrals, and this is consumer protection, not a matter of professional. They can give tons of professional counseling all they want, and I agree with that decision, and I agree with that assessment of regarding the free speech protection. But referrals, we're talking about consumer protection. That's a different ballgame, and women deserve that protection.
And Maggie, I wanted to ask you about consumer protection. Go ahead, please.
Well, let's go to the second part of the proposed of the Title X rule. Then, I mean, the rule would require physical separation, so entities like Planned Parenthood and other medical clinics that provide both a full spectrum of reproductive health care, including abortion, wouldn't be allowed to receive any Title X funding, even though there's already financial separation in place.
Yeah,
so essentially, you would be telling a clinic like Planned Parenthood that they would have to open up some entirely different facility to provide abortion, and then at their other facility, they wouldn't be allowed to refer patients for abortion.
All right, we've got lots of callers who want to join us here, and I want to get to as many of them as I can. Let me get to Dory, who's been waiting patiently. Dory, you're on with us. Welcome.
Okay. Planned Parenthood is a well-known organization. In 1976, a law was passed in both houses of Congress that governmental funds, particularly federal funds, could not be used for abortion. I don't think that an organization as well known and open to inspection as Planned Parenthood would go around breaking the law. On the other hand, many clinics are not permitted to say, we do not provide abortions in any information they give out. So where is the honesty? Where is the openness? And who's telling a lie?
Well, since you're mentioning history, Dorian, I thank you for that. In 1991, essentially this rule was passed also under the Reagan administration. It was upheld by the Supreme Court. Many listeners probably remember this. The Reagan administration was very happy about this, but it only lasted a couple of weeks, and it was right. completely undone during the Clinton administration. But here's a listener, Tina, who writes, please tell your anti-abortion male guest that I'm a woman and I didn't ask for and don't need your help and reject your offer of protection. I am more than capable of taking care of myself and making my own choices. That's the choice argument and the idea of women having agency and they're having their own autonomy to make decisions. Mm-hmm. Brad Degas, what do you say to that argument?
Yeah, we're not talking about taking away choice and decisions. Only 20%, I'd like to respond to the last point, only 20% of Title 10 providers would potentially have to renovate their clinics. 80% wouldn't even be impacted in that regard. And most clinics do not provide abortions, provide these services. So these are all red herrings. With regards to protecting Planned Parenthood's financial revenue, 86% of which comes from abortions separate from Title 10.
Let me get Maggie Kraut to respond. Maggie?
I'm sorry, but a woman's right to have autonomy over her body is not a red herring.
Maggie, could you say something also about
it?
Well, we've got a lot of issues here. This is the abortion debate, and it always it always becomes very challenging and very difficult to sort through. But Maggie Krell, I'm interested in finding out from you, though, your thoughts about really how this limits women's options, and also you've kind of addressed that, but in a bigger sense, there seems to be afoot here a plan, at least, to replace a lot of these clinics and make them more faith-based.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been seeing a writing on the wall for that for a long time. But let me go back to the point about the clinics and who they serve and how all of that works. I can tell you that in California, Planned Parenthood serves the most Title X patients of any other clinic. So while there are certainly other clinics in California and in other states that also are Title X recipients, here in California, Planned Parenthood serves the most patients. The other point I want to make is that Essential Access Health is actually California's grantee, and they provide funding through Title X to Planned Parenthood and several other clinics. They are suing based on this rule. This is their first time ever suing the federal government in 50 years because they see this gag rule as a problem. They see this as unconstitutional and know that it undermines the ability of medical providers.
Although, excuse me, I think it has to be put on the record here. It's the 47th lawsuit brought by California's Attorney General against the Trump administration. That's just a fact. But Maggie, I'm interested also, I want to get to some more callers here, but I want you to talk, if you would, a bit about what other attacks you're seeing on reproductive rights here in California. Where do you see the battlegrounds in coming years aside from this? And also, what do you think about, the chance of the suit going through and being successful? We've got 20 other states in addition to California.
Certainly. Attacking women and attacking healthcare has been a theme of this administration. We saw President Trump's attempt to roll back the birth control mandate. That's in court right now, and the Attorney General of California so far has been able to secure a preliminary injunction preventing employers from being able to discriminate against their employees based on the employer's religious beliefs.
Maggie Kraut, Chief Legal Counsel for Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. Brad Degas is President of Pacific Justice Institute. I'm sorry, Maggie, do you want to say something else? I want to get our callers aboard here.
Sure. And then we're also seeing the ACA battle take place where the California Attorney General's office is actually in Texas and defending the ACA. So we are seeing this administration do everything they can to roll back health care and particularly to target women.
And here's another caller. Marie joins us. Marie, you're on the air.
Hi. Your last story definitely raised my suspicions about profit motives. And so I would like to ask Ms. Kraut to get into what the actual finances are of Planned Parenthood. There's been a lot of talk, some criticisms. I haven't heard the response.
Yeah, it's a fair question. And Maggie Kraut.
Sure. So like a lot of organizations, Planned Parenthood has a C3 side, which is our nonprofit healthcare organization. And under that work, we fund clinics here in California. There are about 110 healthcare clinics. They're funded through California state funding, through federal Medicaid, Medi-Cal, and then grants through programs like Title X.
There's a comment from Stella. I'm going to go to you, Brad Dacus, on this. Stella writes, Brad's argument about consumer protection is a joke. Does he protest every time a doctor recommends a prostate test, blood test, STD test, all of which are expensive at their clinics?
Yeah, there's a clear distinction here. We're talking about an entity where 86% of their non-Title X funding comes from abortions. That is their industry. And as I mentioned before, in 2014, they netted over $127 million in excess revenue. So that is apples and oranges. What we're talking here is about a huge incentive that they have, that they've proven to have, to encourage women who go to Planned Parenthood are more likely to have an abortion than those who go to clinics receiving Title X funding that do not do abortions. And the reason is because they get more information, it's not biased, they see the sonogram, they're educated more. So it's not even disputed as to the financial interest that Planned Parenthood has. This legislation will protect them. Only 20% also, let me make this point, only 20% of Title X providers would have to have any kind of renovation or changing their clinics. That means that 80%, 4 out of 5, would not even be impacted when it comes to changing their facilities to continue Title X funding. And point three, the president, Leanna Wynne, 2 weeks ago of Planned Parenthood, stated point blank, if this is adopted, they just simply won't receive Title X funding. They'll continue what they're doing, and rightfully so, because of the huge money making that they do.
I want to give Maggie Krell response time here, and I'm looking at a tweet from Scott who says, looking at the current Planned Parenthood budget, 3.4% of overall costs were related to abortion services. Maggie Krell, you can pick up on that.
That's true. We don't make money off abortion. I don't know how many other ways I could say it. Our goal at Planned Parenthood is to give accurate, medically accurate, and complete information to any patient who walks through our doors. We believe that all women, that all people actually deserve access to health care regardless of their zip code and what their needs are. That's what we provide, non-judgmental care to anyone that walks in the doors. In terms of the stats that Mr. Dacus is talking about with regard to clinics, you should really look at patient population. Planned Parenthood is very efficient. Some of our facilities are even open on weekends. So we serve more patients than other clinics. So when you talk about the number of clinics that would be impacted, it's more important to talk about the amount of patients that would be impacted.
We're going to have to leave it there. Let me thank you both. The injunction will take place in about 60 days, and we will follow this story, continues to follow this story. Thank you, Maggie Krell, Chief Legal Counsel for Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. And thank you, Brad Dacus, President of Pacific Justice Institute. And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and an hour is repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. And another hour of forums up ahead. We're going to talk about the San Jose Sharks, and we're also going to have a segment for you all about, well, Senate hearings today on autism and vaccines. Stay tuned. It's all up ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis. On view through April 14th, Blue and Yellow Corridor, an iconic work by Bruce Nauman, realized on the very grounds where the artist conceived it.